It's time to get sexy. So watch Secular Sexuality Live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTSS and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callsex.
That's right, folks. I know what that music means. Welcome back to another episode of The Nonprofits, the Long Hair Edition. This is the show where we discuss the news and the topics of the day from a skeptical humanist perspective. My name is Secular Rarity, and today's topics are as wild and twisted as the four of us standing in a windstorm. So the good news is we've turned all our fans off, and we won't have to worry about any hair getting in our face. But let's say hey to all of these long-haired heathen-looking people. Scott Dickey, glad to have you back, man.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Up next, it looks like Kelly Laughlin is hanging out with us again. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here from the depths of the Northwoods.
That's right. And then finally, a man I am super duper excited to have back on the show. We've got Neil, the 604 Atheist. What's up, Neil?
Yeah, well, it has been a couple of minutes since I've done this show, so it's good to be back, and let's try and make this one to remember, and I'm pretty sure with all the hair that will...
That's right.
If we ever need floss, we've got it right here. Yeah.
We may or may not be shaving our heads by the end of this episode, folks, but you have to stick around to see whether or not we do. No, we won't. We'll let you know. Anyway, this show is a product of the atheist community of Austin, a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting atheism, critical thinking, secular humanism, and the separation of religion and government. And today, we definitely have some topics that are going to hit on this stuff. We have up first a declaration of Christian dependence for the country. So that's a little strange. Then we've got book bans and outdated beliefs on reading. Then after that, we've got a strange but true holy heifers have arrived in Israel and it might be the end of days. And then finally, here come the heathens as we look at the rise of atheism. And as with all of our shows here on the Nonprofits, the links to today's articles and the topics and the news that we discuss are available in the description right below our wonderful faces. And if you do want to come to the show prepared, you can always check out the Nonprofits Facebook fan page every Friday night for a list of those articles ahead of time. And that's always great because you can come in and join in the chat and have all the knowledge and start cracking wise like we do. So, but I think starting us off, Kelly, you've got something about Christian nationalism or what's going on there?
Yeah, it seems like these Christian nationalists are always in the news lately, and I'm kind of glad because it's kind of shedding a spotlight on them. But this is a story from Politico. It was written by Stella Rouse and Shilby Telahami. I'm hoping I didn't butcher that name. But it's about how a majority of Republicans support declaring the United States a Christian nation. And I think we all know that the Christian nationalist movement is a big part of the Republican Party at this point. But this article not only points that out, but it points out some of the people who are pushing this, like Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia and Governor Ron DeSantis from down in Florida. So there's a lot of things going on here. There's a majority of people really think we should be a Christian nation, which I really find surprising since so many of them really believe in the Constitution too. And I've got a lot of things I'd like to say about this, but I'm going to throw it to Neil first and see what he has to say.
Throwing it to me. Oh, well, one of the things that I did like about the article, it talks about how the younger generations, the up and coming kids, even the Republican ones and conservative ones are almost, you know, like I say, about half of them now are at least not in favor of this because they believe it to be, anti-constitutional or whatever. So that's promising. So hopefully these kids will have a much more influence in the future and I personally highly doubt that Italy will ever be a Christian nation. I'm sure at some point, at least when these kids get up there, and they're starting to climb that age ladder where they can actually make a difference. So I don't think it'll be too much of an issue for you guys. I don't think you really have to worry about it. But it is kind of scary what they talk up there.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Scott, what are your thoughts?
I was looking at the numbers, and there was something interesting about the results of this poll. They reported that 57% of Republicans that responded to the survey agree that it would be unconstitutional for the United States to become a Christian nation, which is disturbing on its own. I mean, that's like less than half of the Republicans want to, you know, can recognize that, you know, what is actually in the Constitution. And so, but when we add on top of that, the fact that 61% of Republicans favor the United States declaring itself a Christian nation, if we crunch those numbers together, we can see that at least 18% overlap in those groups. So there's at least 18% of the Republicans that responded to the survey both want the U.S. to be a Christian nation, and they also know that that would be unconstitutional. And, you know, I just think, what the hell is wrong with these people? You know, I thought this was supposed to be the party of patriots, and here they're saying we want this, even though we know it's against the Constitution, it's against the founding documents of our country, and it's I don't know. It's frustrating. Neil was sorry. SR, no, what do you think?
I agree. I think that was one of the things that stuck out to me the most, was how many people were willing to say on one hand, like, oh yeah, we know this is a problem, like technically speaking, with, you know, the whole government and how it's formed and all that stuff, but we still don't care, and we're comfortable with it. You know, this decision. I was even surprised that there was about 51% of Republicans in the Gen Z category that also still supported this, and so that definitely is something I'm going to be paying attention to. I know for sure. I know we will here at this show. That's a lot to me. That's a lot more than I would have expected, you know? But Kelly, I know you've got some other good thoughts on this. What was jumping out at you?
One of the things that really jumped out at me was that back in 2014, Pew Research did a poll and found that only 44% of Republicans went to church regularly. And now we got this such a large majority just 8 years later. Now, I realize it's 8 years later, but I can't see the amount of church-going Republicans rising up by 16 points in those 8 years. So there's like 16% of these people who think this should be a Christian nation, and yet they're not really practicing Christians. And that kind of scares me, because there are four things when they don't know what those things entail, right? So that, to me, that's a very scary thing. And I think we need to make sure we get out and vote against these people, because they really do want to take over the Republican Party. So, I mean, I'm not saying you should vote against Republicans. I think there's a lot of good Republicans and there's a lot of good Republican candidates, but we need to get rid of this part of the political structure, because it's a real danger to our society and to the freedom of religion that we have so valued in this country.
Yeah,
for sure.
So I know Scott had some other things.
Neil, did you have something real quick?
I also
talk about what do you say, Scott?
Yeah.
Well, Neil mentioned earlier about the youth and how that's kind of encouraging that our younger up and coming voters are on the right side of history, I guess, or on the American side of history. And yes, yeah, I do find that to be encouraging. However, having the numbers at the voting booth only works when the system is working. And so I think we've seen much of the system breaking down. And it's no secret that psychological studies have repeatedly shown that generally more conservative or Republican minded people tend to lean more towards authoritarianism, things like purity, things like loyalty, and so on. And so, and what Kelly was saying, how they they don't know what the ramifications are, or they don't care, or they're not taking that into consideration. I can see this the scenario happening where the voters just vote for what the candidates are saying. You know, that's our candidate. Well, we're supposed to go along with that. But at the same time, the candidates are saying those things specifically because of the reaction that it gets from the voters. The article did say that, DeSantis in Florida, he was, quote, considering adding some of this rhetoric to his campaign. So that means it's not, you know, it's not a core belief of his. It's obviously just a pandering to the voters. I don't know, Neil, what do you think?
Honestly, you know what I think it is? First of all, it says in the First Amendment that Congress can neither establish nor prohibit the practice of any religion. So these guys want to get into power so they can somehow keep other people from worshiping their religion. Like, what if it was like the American Muslim nation? Like, what if that happened? But I honestly believe it is a bunch of white Christian nationalist types that are losing their power, and they're screaming about it now, and they want to get everyone to say, well, let's turn the U.S. back into that Christian, which they never were, back into that Christian nation, as you know, like our founding fathers wanted. These people need Anderson.
Yeah, they do. Scott, do you have any other thoughts before Kelly wraps this up?
They're losing their power, man.
I think you hit the nail right on the head there, Neil, but I think they're was one thing that I saw this past Sunday. This was Rick Wilson. He's a Republican campaign strategist, and this was on MSNBC. And this is what he said. He said, first off, I need them to stop talking about the founders at this point. If you stretch back to the Mayflower, this is a country that was founded on fleeing from the religious persecution of an official state religion. And when the Constitution was being framed, we had states and we had leaders who all understood that this country was going to have a pluralistic approach to religion, which is to say the government would not neither condone nor suppress any religion. This is a fundamental part of American history. And so it's nice to hear Republican voices speaking reason. And so I my only hope is that the sober minds come out victorious here.
Yeah. Now, real quick, before Kelly wraps us up and we move on to some of the other cool stuff we have, Neil, is this something that you're experiencing up in Canada? Is this a wave that's traveling across the whole continent? Or
no, not even close to what you guys have going on down there. We do have our conservative party up here.
Sure.
I think we're a lot better keeping religion, even though I know that there are some screaming for it. They're very small people.
That's good. That's looking better than it is.
Our Texas.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, give us your final thoughts on this, and we'll talk about some of the other articles we've got today.
You were asking Neil, and the first thing I thought of was that crazy woman who thinks she's the Queen of Canada. So that was, see, he's got to deal with her. I was reading several polls done over the last year, and they pointed to the fact that the more a person embraces, going back to my original point, embraces the ideas of Christian nationalism, anti-mask, anti-vax, opposition to gun control, freedom over the safety of society, like no quarantining, that kind of thing, distrust of science, anti-immigrant, only for traditional gender roles, being for voter suppression. All of this stuff is, the more you are a Christian nationalist, the more you believe in these things. And they found that the more you believed in these things, the less likely you were to go to church. And that there's a huge disconnect there. And I think we're overlooking it, because somewhere there's some ground to make gains against these people somehow, I think, because they're practicing a Christianity that isn't the real Christianity. It's more like a feel-good Christianity. And I really think that maybe there's an open door that we can use to help fight back against this whole movement somewhere in that place. I'm not sure what it is yet, but I'm going to keep working on thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's about all definitely. I have.
And so. I know all of us here will be continuing to highlight these stories. And hopefully, you know, in the near future, we'll be having some better news where this type of stuff is waning instead of growing. So, but with that, we do have to send a very warm and hearty thank you to all of the veteran and new viewers for getting us over 11,000 subscribers. That is huge. That is awesome for us. It means a lot of great things for us. And if you're watching us right now and you haven't subscribed yet, just go ahead and freaking do it. It's so easy. And then once you do that, just hit the like button, ring that bell, and you'll always know whenever we've got good things coming coming out on this channel. We always have the new... That's right. That's right. You can make Neil super happy by just ringing that bell. We always do the new episodes premiere every Sunday at 3 p.m. Central.
Pavlov's dog.
But throughout the week, there's actually a lot of really good things that go on this channel as well. So after you do all that, though, then one more task for you. It's very easy. Just share it. Just share the freaking channel, people. It's so easy. It takes no effort whatsoever. It doesn't cost you anything. Like, you can do it while going to the bathroom. Like, it's so simple. But yeah, get it out there and just help us grow this channel, because the more people that are out there and the more subscribers that we have, the better help that we have with those fundraisers. Finally, are you aware that the Atheist Community of Austin has another YouTube channel? Well, you need to be. So check out the Atheist Experience Network. This is a channel where you can find all of the awesome ACA shows in the podcast form. So you don't have to see all this beautiful, gorgeous flowing hair. And you can just subscribe at tiny.cc/AEN podcast. You can listen to all the episodes of the nonprofits, Atheist Experience, Secular Sexuality, Truth Wanted, and all the other great ACA shows. So don't miss anything. Go there, go subscribe, go listen to stuff. Again, you can do it while you're in the bathroom. I don't know why I'm super focused on that or anything, but just letting everybody know. But with
Did
that,
you
we're
do
talk
a bio
about...
break or
No, TMI. I'm all good. I went before we took the trip, you guys. Nobody has to turn any broadcasts around or anything.
But I'm going to turn this broadcast around right now.
We're gonna move into the next segment. We're going to talk about some book bans that are happening across the country. Woo-hoo. So yeah, this is something that's going on in my neck of the woods, too. This has been a pretty fervent push from a very small and vocal group of people that are out there really, really trying to take away access to information. And one of the things that, you know, I really thought was interesting was pretty much right at the beginning. There's a quote by a Pulitzer Prize winning author. And basically what this quote is how banning books doesn't really fit neatly into these rubrics of like left and right. Kind of in general, when we think of politics, a lot of times in the US, it's a pretty binary system. And it seems to be the case that there are people on a lot of different sides with a lot of different angles trying to prevent kids from accessing these books. Now, some of them, it's like, okay, maybe we shouldn't be giving that one to a child. Maybe we shouldn't give it to a 5-year-old. But at the same time, I'm just so baffled as to why we think the appropriate thing to do is to prevent this information for children. So I definitely want to get your guys' thoughts on this, because I have, I mean, again, like I said, this is something that's happening in my state, in my county, that we are dealing with. And a lot of these books that they're wanting to ban, you know, I'm just so confused as to why they want to ban them. Because there doesn't seem like there's anything that would be inappropriate for any age child, really. But Scott, what do you think on this? Is banning books a good decision? Am I just off base or what?
No, I think we should ban all books. No, I'm kidding.
Everybody go to Kindle.
right, exactly, right, ebooks. No, I want to quote a famous book that has often finds itself on one of these banned book lists. And so this particular book says, a towel is just about the most massively useful thing an interstellar hitchhiker can carry. You can wrap it around your head to ward off noxious fumes or avoid the gaze of the ravenous bug bladder beast of Trawl, a mind-bogglingly stupid animal. It assumes that if you can't see it, it can't see you. Daft as a brush, but very ravenous. And of course, that was from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by fellow atheist Douglas Adams, or the late Douglas Adams, I should say. So in other words, what he's saying here is that if you can't see it, it can't hurt you. And that's kind of the whole idea behind this book banning thing. You know, we just won't let the kids see that, and they won't, and then it won't affect them. But the problem is, and this is what the article was really pointing out, is that goes against the way that children, their way that their minds develop, the way that they develop their worldviews, the way that they develop their beliefs. In fact, we've already seen how this approach fails. We've seen it in the area of sex ed, right? There are some areas of this country that are pushing abstinence only sex education. If they don't hear it, they won't do it. And I think that, I think we all know how that one turned out, right? It didn't. The problem isn't that abstinence doesn't work. Abstinence will work. The problem is that abstinence only education doesn't lead to abstinence. And so it's, it's nature will find a way. What was that? Jeff Goldblum on Jurassic Park, right? Nature will find a way. Neil, what do you think? Neil, what's up?
Well, first of all, you said if they don't hear it, then they don't do it or something like that. I remember hearing my parents going at it when I was a kid. Mom going screaming about the old God stuff. And I just thought, maybe they're just praying or something.
So how do you feel about banning books, Neil?
Anyway, I think if you tell someone they can't do something, they're going to want to do it even more. Banning books, they talk in the article a little bit about To Kill a Mocking, stuff like that. Classics canceled, whatnot. At least not that I'm aware of. And I know there's some people that want them banned. However, because they have racist content and then the horrible portrayals of people of color and whatnot like that. So do we ban those as well? I mean, should we ban stuff like that? It teaches people how not to be, that's for sure. And it shows that the evolution of our society over time, although albeit some people are still back in the To Kill a Mockingbird time period, it seems these days anyways, because there's a lot of racism floating around. But I think books definitely written over history definitely reflect the time periods that they are from. But does that necessarily mean we have to ban them? And now we've got, in modern times, we've got books that have stuff about LGBTQ+ community and stuff like that. And I don't think any of these books should ever be banned, because they're there as teaching tools and teaching people about things like that, about racism, about the LGBTQIA+ community, helps people understand. And when you have understanding, then we have, better camaraderie. We understand more about each other, and we understand what's the bad and we understand what's the good, what's harmful and what isn't. I think we need to keep these books around so we can learn from our past mistakes and improve as a species, evolve much better.
Learning. Is that what you're talking about? Learning. We should knowledge. Yeah.
Schoolhouse Rock commercials back in the day?
Definitely. What are your thoughts on this, Kelly?
Right. I was thinking when you said people will do what they're told not to do, that great successful DARE program that we did for years in the United States that caused everybody to start doing drugs. Yeah, right. It's a perfect example of that concept. But
hold on, I just got to roll one.
I'm amazed that people think that because you read something, you're going to turn into that thing. I was required to read Huck Finn when I was in high school, and it's full of racist language. And you know what? I didn't turn into a racist. So, I was able to read that and not become the thing that they banned that book for, which I agree with Neil. I mean, it has historic importance, and I think it's good to reflect on back on the bad things in our society and what we did so that we don't repeat them again. So we shouldn't ban books like that. And I wondered if it's because these people think, a lot of these people, they read parts of the Bible and they became Christians. And is that why they think this? If somebody reads this book about LGBT children, the LGBT teenagers, they're going to turn into one, just like I turned into a Christian from reading the Bible. I mean, it's just such a ridiculous logical sequence to make. I just don't get it. It's mind-boggling to me, there's also the idea right. And then there's the idea that a 10 to 16 year old kid doesn't have the ability to think for themselves. I mean, my kids could at that age, because they were taught to think for themselves. So maybe if they took the time that they were spending trying to get these books banned and raising their children better, they wouldn't have to worry about banning these books.
Huh. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. That's an interesting thought indeed. And again, this is something that's happening in my state of Tennessee. And, in some instances, I think, okay, this, again, as I said earlier, like maybe this isn't something that's age appropriate. Maybe we shouldn't be
advocating that little five-year-olds watch, Saving Private Ryan or something kind of in that vein. Maybe that's a bit much, you know? I get that, right? But most of the time, what I am seeing when these books are being banned, they are things like a book that just very casually mentions that the main character has two dads. And that's really all it says. It just says, you know, little Jimmy goes home one day and he sees his dad and he says, hey, dad. And then he sees his other dad and he says, hey, dad. And then they all hug and they eat dinner and like, you know, or and this one blows my mind. But they got the biography of Ruby Bridges banned from a couple of schools. You know, the sweet, calm little six-year-old black girl who helped integrate schools was the first black child in America to go to an all-white school like that. You know, a really great moment in history where we're like, holy crap, we finally took a step forward. I for some reason, and I'm not sure why, but for some reason they don't like that story. And it could be anything. I have no idea what it is. But what about some people, Scott, who say that there are some books out there that teach very hateful, bigoted, divisive kind of ideologies? Should we ban those too? Or are you saying, hey, look, hands off the books, guys, you know, all of them should be allowed?
Well, you know, it's tough to say. I mean, there you could make an argument that, you know, children shouldn't necessarily be exposed to everything. However, you know, like we've been saying, you know, kids don't, you know, it doesn't work that way. It's not like they see and then they're all of a sudden like that. For example, my own kids, my wife and I decided early on that, we didn't care if they swore, you know, we said, you know, fuck it up, right? You go for it, right? Say whatever you want. And you know, this might just be an exceptional, obviously doesn't necessarily mean everybody's going to be like this, but now my kids are like the most the kindest, most polite people that I've ever seen. And they hardly ever swear. And even though, you know, when they do, we know that they mean, you know, we know that it's for impact. But the point is, though, that just mere exposure is not going to make you that way. And if we compare it, for example, say to like these chicken pox parties, right? That's when the parents, when one of their kids gets infected with chicken pox and they invite the whole neighborhood over, they say, come on in. On one hand, we have these book banners saying, no, we can't let our kids be around these dangerous things. Otherwise, it will affect them negatively. And then on the other hand, we have very often the same people saying, well, wait, we have to toughen our kids up. We need to expose them to these dangerous things. And so, I mean, come on, make up your mind. I mean, this is pure speculation on my part. But if I were a betting man, I would say that there's quite a bit of overlap between the chickenpox party people and the book banning people. I'm just saying, you know, pick a lane, people, pick a lane, you know, one way or the other. Stick with one madness. Okay. Don't quit jumping horses midship here or whatever that I was mixing my metaphors there.
Well, it is a striking analogy when you put those two kind of next to each other. Neil, any final thoughts on banning books? Or
I mean, if people are really that concerned, you could just have libraries introduce, and I'm pretty sure they do this already, but I mean, books are categorized, they're in sections, and there's some that are in the adult section, and these kids shouldn't, you know, if they're not quite ready for some of that theme, then don't allow them to take out those books, or they might, they can if they get parental permission or something like that. Send them in with a note saying, give my kid, you know, that's a little bit more to risque side, because they're at that age where they're starting to understand that stuff. But just I don't know, split it up into maturity levels, I guess. But then, you know, and I think of myself being a giant kid anyways, but yeah, I mean, it's I don't know if we should. Well, I mean, obviously there's going to be some that should out, because they're just, all they are is promoting harm behavior and other stuff like that. Keep those ones on the back shelf, and better have the reason one of that. But yeah, other than that, books shouldn't be banned at all, because how do you learn?
Kelly, any final? Yeah, exactly. Kelly, any final thoughts?
Yeah, sure, I sure do. You know, in some way, it's kind of a honor to have your book banned. It puts you in the same ranks as Mark Twain, Harriet Beecher Stowe, William Shakespeare, Margaret Sanger, Ernest Hemingway, J.D. Salinger. This is an awesome list to be on. You know, yeah. I would not mind being on a list with those people. But this is this, and just like going back to our first story, it's the same. A lot of these are the same group of people, and they're just hurt and trying to create an alternative false reality because they think that the real reality is out to get them and it's threatening their existence. So they're just creating a new one. And one of the biggest organizations behind these book bannings is Moms for Liberty. And I don't remember anywhere in the idea of liberty that censorship came in. So yeah, I think we need to stand up to these people. We got to stop this shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I've got to say.
Before we move on to these final couple of articles, I found this quote and I just thought it was really beautiful. And I think it's a great way to end this section. The regulation of children's access to important knowledge has undermined their development as competent, well-informed, critical thinking, and ethical young citizen. And I absolutely agree with Kerry Robinson there. I think restricting information for the next generation is always going to lead to bad outcomes. So again, as with kind of the first news, hopefully in the future we'll be able to bring some more positive updates on this and talk about, you know, a lot of these getting rolled back. But for the time being, this is definitely something I think all of us here would agree is important to be paying attention to because it does not lead to a better world for us. So. But after that, I think I need a break. So while I go get a snack, if you didn't tune into the other ACA shows, here's what you missed.
Wait, you're a what? You like the, what do you like to do? You know, you like cupcake batter on your nipples? That's so weird. And I was just like, yeah, maybe it's weird for me and you, but like for them, that's what floats their boat.
Welcome. Maybe Elon Musk is actually an insectoid in disguise.
Oh. And
the reason why he wants us to get to Mars is he wants to go home, dude.
Healthcare should be something that's between the patient and the doctor. Until Jesus is coming into your examination room and healing you of whatever you have, he really has no place making decisions about anybody's health.
That's also an example, though, of somebody who's obviously coming into the show hot, right? They're heated. Mm-hmm. And so, like, there's no chance in hell that they're interested in what we really have.
Shirt off, oiled up.
Yeah.
They're coming into the show hot.
Talked to too many... Jesus Christ.
I have zero interest in people who have defined gods as abstractions. You may believe in a God. It's like the person earlier who said that their God was gratitude and stuff. Okay, cool story, bro. Fire up a bong.
And we are back, folks, and it has been a long 2 years or so since we have been able to congregate together, but based on the updates from the CDC and other scientific organizations, we are going to be able to ease back into doing some more live shows from the Free Thought Library. So the next in-studio broadcast will be on Sunday, October 30th, 2022. That is more than enough time to make sure that is on the calendar, folks, because both Talk Heathen and the Atheist Experience will be broadcast at their normal times, 1 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central, respectively. But now you get the chance to be part of the studio audience. So, like I said, you got more than enough time to get the car gassed up and the things packed and the people ready and all the stuff you got to do. And you can get on over to Austin, Texas and meet and greet some of your fellow non-believers, some great show hosts. And then, of course, the wonderful people who make all of this magic possible every single week. The crew, they will be there. There will be a whole bunch of wonderful people that you can hang out with. And the doors open to the library at 12 noon to the public. So get there. And I've heard that if you get there early, you get a better spot at the library. And then when that fills up, it's wherever you can legally park. So you make sure you be there at 12 noon so that you get a good parking space. And if you can't make it in October, that's okay, folks, because we will continue to broadcast from the library the last Sunday of each month. So make sure to keep watching this show and go check out the website atheist-community.org for all the news and info as we expand the in-studio offering. inspiring to guys. So definitely, if you can get out to that, that is going to be super duper fun. Before we go into this next one, you've got something for us that is strange but true.
Strange but true. Holy cow. Just want to start off with that because this article, and you know, being raised Jewish in my youth, I remember hearing murmurs about this sort of thing, but only like passing, and I don't really think any of the folks that I knew back in the day really thought much of it. But there were some Christian ranchers that raised up five red heifers that were bred by a Christian rancher in the U.S. Landed in Israel on Thursday because they needed it for, I guess, some sort of sacrifice. At least that's what I remember them talking about back in my day, too. It's the redemption is now possible. The Jews believe that the ashes of the red heifers are needed for purification, which strikes me as odd that they got them from Christian ranchers, because wasn't Jesus supposed to be that whole salvation thing? So what do we need to slaughter five cows purification? I don't understand that. But anyway, they believe that the presence of these heifers is the signal that the third temple will be built or get this, fall from the sky. It's like they're just gonna drop a big temple down there, the land somewhere there in Jerusalem. It's lunacy, in my opinion. I think because it talks about Moses and Aaron, it says a requirement of the law that the Lord has commanded, tell the Israelites to bring you a red heifer without defect or blemish. So these ranchers didn't even clip their ears, completely unblemished, and that have never been under a yoke, and give it to Eliezer the priest and be taken out and slaughtered in his presence. And then all the fun stuff would happen. Temple be rebuilt, fall from the sky or hell. They're talking about there. It's madness. It's just utter madness. Oh, by the way, we were supposed to have the rapture a few days back.
Oh, darn it. Did we miss that?
Yeah,
I think we missed the boat there.
Well, what do you think on this, Scott?
Well, first of all, I was reading about red heifers, and it sounded like some kind of bizarro supervillain or something like that. You know, Return of the Red Heifer, Revenge of the Red Heifer. That's going to be the next one. Mark my words. But I mean, come on here. What we've heard on the shows here before that, you know, if you order a steak and then later on a steak shows up, it's not a prophecy. There's nothing special. It's just something that you would expect to happen. And that's literally what's happening here, right? We had the author of the Book of Numbers ordered the steak, right? And now this Christian organization called Bane Israel, which means like to build or to construct Israel, reconstruction of Israel.
Building.
Yeah, they're the waiters bringing the steak in. I mean, you know, there's really nothing to see here. You know, it's just move along. You know, it's I don't know. It's interesting that this kind of thing is so you know, so many people are so obsessed about this. It's a thing. It was a news story. We sent cows over to Israel. That was the story. And I just don't get it. I did find that the Fox News style reporting in the article was kind of humorous. You know, about halfway through, they were like, does the arrival of the heifers in Israel set in motion the coming of the Messiah or the return of Jesus, as Christians believe?
Do you mind if I try to answer that, Scott? I think I might be able to. Let me just check my notes here real quick. No, it does not. No, it doesn't. No. There's nothing magic about these cows, right?
Maybe we needed six red heifers.
That's what it was. We were just one off, you know?
Right. Damn it.
I think the thing that honestly really stood out to me as you know, something that really made me uncomfortable with this is, if I remember correctly, like the whole point of like the end times, like the last days thing, essentially means all of the non-believers are going to be slaughtered, like, right? Like, if there's something about like rivers of blood of the non-believers and fighting demons and all that. So basically, these people are getting excited for genocide. That's what they're excited for. If this is what they want, they're excited that the rest of the world around them will be killed by God and his righteousness, I guess, which is
Christian
really
love.
Yeah, that's really frustrating. Like, that's a real shitty thing to be wanting, I guess. What do you think on this, Kelly? Are we off base? Are these cows telling us that the end time is near or what?
No, you know, I had the same idea that these good Christian people wanted to see all these other people suffer and be tortured, right? And I just don't get it. I did look it up, and it turns out that a red heifer is actually born in Israel every few years. That sending five over there was really nothing. It was just pretty much an empty statement because they're actually born there all the time. So I'm wondering if there's some Christian rancher in Texas somewhere going, I'm going to send these cows over to Israel and I'm going to get a free trip right into heaven. You know, and I don't think that's going to work the way he wants it to or he's expecting it to. And then I was reading,
like they're trying to hurry
I was
it up.
Reading the Bible passage that these, right. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to hurry it up. But I was reading the Bible passage that they're using, and it's tell the Israelites to bring you a red heifer without defect or blemish, and that has never been under a yoke. Give it to Eleazar the priest. Now, is that a particular priest named Eleazar? Is it any priest named Eleazar? What's going on there? You know, and that one really got me to wondering. And is some Texas rancher now going to start raising priests named Eleazar to send over there too?
That seems kind of cheap, right? If you raise the cows and you raise the priests, that's a little unfair, right?
Somebody's carrying most of the weight here, I think.
I don't think Eleazar's still alive, so we're safe there.
Okay. Well, that's good. I was surprised by that too, honestly. I was when I first started reading this, I was like, wait a second, I know they have cows in Israel. Like, I know that's not just like a Texas thing. But
I worked for Scott, them. I lived there.
Yeah. See? So I mean, what is this for other than just like a big show, I guess? I'm not sure. But Scott, any other thoughts on this?
Yeah, you were saying before about, you know, these people are trying to bring the end times, right? It's like they're trying to grease the wheels or you know, try to hurry things up. And I wonder if, you know, it doesn't seem like it would be that way. You know, is it? So did like the author of Numbers say, here's a recipe. Here's how you bring about the end times. You know, just do these things and then magic will happen. You know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, how they have to say Beetlejuice three times, right? And, you know, I've heard somewhere that that's what you have to do. You have to say Beetlejuice three times. And I don't know if they said Beetlejuice. Did I just bring about the end times?
Oh gosh.
You know, shit. Dang it. Oh, well.
Well, Kelly.
One less red heifer to worry about, I guess.
Before the end times take us over from Scott's mistake or these heifers, what any other thoughts you have on this article? Is the end times near?
Just a couple of things. I'm a Discordian. I don't know if anybody knows what that is. It's sort of one of those joke anti-religions like the Flying Spaghetti Monster. It's been around since the late 50s. But the end times is a kind of a big joke among Discordians too. So when I read this, all I kept thinking was, yes, let's amenitize the Escaton. Hail Eris. All hail Discordia. So, but like I say, it's kind of a whole joke thing. And it was not only that, but all the while I was reading it, all I could think of was that one South Park episode about the red heifer too. So I actually really enjoyed this story because all I did was laugh through it all. So
Me too.
Well,
that's my laugh thoughts. This is the funny one, the funniest things we've covered in a long time to me.
I agree. Wrap us up, Neil. You brought us in. Take us out.
Take us home.
All right. Well, don't worry, kids. The end of the world isn't coming because they brought five fucking unblemished red cows to Israel, right? However, we are facing some end times, but for completely different reasons. So let's treat the planet better, huh?
Hear, hear.
Yeah, a great way to wrap the section up. I agree. And before we move on to our final article, folks, I just got to tell you a couple of things that are super important. One, you know that you can become a member of this channel for as little as 99 cents a month. All you do is just go down below the video, click the join button, and this will give you access to super sweet special chat emojis. I may have been told in the past that if we get more people joining, you might get to use my face at some point. So if you're excited about just spamming my face in YouTube chat, you know what to do now. But we also have a brand new store. All you do is visit tiny.cc/merchaca, and you can get your favorite favorite items like t-shirts, hoodies, and coffee mugs. You can check out all the new items like beanies, phone cases, and tote bags. And you can take a look at the limited edition item each month. Every ACA show features a special one, so make sure to go check out that store for the NP merch and all of the awesome merch from other shows. I have a little bit myself, and I'm hoping to get some more. So make sure you get it, and then show it off to us. Why not? Why not go in one of like the fan run Facebook pages and like take a cute picture of yourself and send it and be like, "Hey, SR," or don't. I mean, that's probably too much work on you. Anyway, we're gonna
order some merch here.
Yeah. Neil's about to just blow up my DMs.
Well, don't forget to take the cute picture.
That's right. Well, let's go to Scott. You're going to tell us about some research into atheism or something. What's going on there?
Absolutely. This article was suggested by a Discord community member, Atheist Amy. So we thank you, Atheist Amy, for the suggestion here. Woo-hoo. This was from newswise.com, and it wasn't, there was no author attributed other than Queen's University Belfast. And so I'm assuming that it might be a press release and not necessarily an article. That didn't really say, though. But the title was Researchers to Explore Why Atheism is Growing Across the World. And I think the first two sentences of that release give a great summary. So here they are. An interdisciplinary team of researchers led by Queen's University Belfast have launched a new project called Explaining Atheism to test popular and academic theories about why some people are atheists and why some are not. Explaining Atheism aims to better understand the growing population of atheists and agnostics in the world, correct inaccurate stereotypes, that's important, and give insight into the future of both belief and non-belief. And so they have this, they're going to be gathering data from six different countries, including the United States, and they're going to examine what is the quote unquote cause of atheism. And I thought this was interesting too. They're also going to be outsourcing some of their research by funding these affiliate researchers. And so they're hoping to add an additional 13 countries to their collection of data. And so neither the article nor the website, which was explainingatheism.org, specifically said when the project was due to begin, but I got the impression from the article that it was either underway already or beginning soon. So Kelly, what's on your mind there? What do you think about this?
Oh, I wish I had something on my mind. I don't have a mind to put anything on. I do really appreciate that this study's being done, though. I mean, one thing we can't deny is that there is a growing body of atheists and agnostics around the world. And if that's where we all want our human society to go to in the future, if a study like this can teach us what areas that we need to concentrate on to draw more people to our cause so that we can further that goal. And I'm curious myself as to whether some of the things that I believe are causing atheism are true or not. Is it hypocrisy in the church? Is it a rising scientific community that gives us more and better answers to the world around us? Is it the church overstepping societal boundaries that are adapting to a freer, more versatile society? Is it scandal, the scandals that many churches have found themselves a part of, both financial and sexual? Is it what area should we be concentrating on in an effort to reach more people, right? Is it any of these things? Is it something else? So I'm really happy that this study is being done because I'm really interested in what's going to come of it and the information that we're going to get out of it. I'm actually really excited about this. So I bet you Neil has a bunch of thoughts about it, though. So Neil, what do you think?
Yeah, well, first of all, the study being called Explaining Atheism triggered me right away because it's like, what are you explaining?
Right.
Atheism is basically, I don't believe in gods. That's it. That's all it is, right? Everything else is something else. But when they say, oh, you're an atheist, they go, well, how come? Because I don't believe in God. or any gods for that matter. They could call it like explaining the rise, because that's tech or talk. So and saying something like explaining atheism is like you're creating all these myths about what atheists are. I think A, it's ridiculous, and B, it could be dangerous too. We just want to know what's driving people to non-belief. Like, what are they seeing? What are they hearing that's making them start to rethink what they were indoctrinated into? So, I mean, I talk to people all the time on my show who finally something like that happens to them and they start to have these doubts and they start questioning. And when you have those questions, don't stop questioning. Look for the answer, right? And was it Dr. Lois Lee as they were talking about in there? It's important to make it feel like something you'll want to learn about, and it definitely helps in normalizing atheism as well. When people have this information out there that they can peruse, then that helps to normalize being a non-believer. And I think there's already enough bullshit mythology about who we are as people that gets tacked onto our non-belief in deities that can make it even dangerous for us to be out in public sometimes. I mean, in some countries, apostates are murdered. So, you know, we don't, just because we don't believe in something doesn't give you the right to cut off my head or whatever. So I'm waiting for the end, because this is a study that's just starting, right? So, you know, it's after 3 years, they're going to have lots of results. And I'm really excited to hear some of the stuff that I found out about this study, for sure. That's why I do my show, because I like to hear these things, to hear how people find their way free.
Yeah. And I think your point right there at the end was one of the things that really jumped out to me at first. A lot of times atheists and non-believers in general are really an afterthought on studies like this, if they're included at all. And I think where this will be helpful, at least this is my hope, is that exactly in those places you were talking about, Neil, those countries where people are not able to speak out about their atheism like we are, people that are jailed, right, or beaten or killed simply for liking a post on Facebook. This hopefully is a chance for people to look down and say, hang on, wait a second. 100,000 people in my country said that they're atheists. Who the hell are these people, and how do I make a community with them? Because one of the things that I hear so often, and I know we all have, is just how many, many atheists and non-believers of all different stripes, we think we're the only one in our city or in our state, or at our work or you know, at our grocery store or whatever. Yeah. And then, you know, we just feel so alone from it. And it's just so powerful to be able to reach out and know that there are other people close by to you that also are in the same camp as you. I will say I kind of giggled a little bit. Yeah, exactly. I kind of giggled a little bit when I was reading this the first time, and I had kind of a snarky thought, which was just, man, you know, I could save this research team about £1.5 million. Just ask me, why is atheism spreading? Oh, there's no good arguments for theism. All right, you can send the check to P.O. Box. No, I just, like, you know, yeah, I mean, yeah. But this obviously is going to be a much broader and in-depth study, and I think it's going to be really, really helpful. Scott, where do you see this being helpful? Yeah, for sure. But yeah, Scott, any other thoughts on this? Do you see
definitely
this?
Oh, I can go on and on. And when I saw, I love it when I come on the show and I see that there's a study that I can sink my teeth into, and I like to dive into it. And even sometimes I'll bring this information back to my class. You know, I teach statistics, and so, you know, it's good to have interesting examples and so on. But so I did, I came out of reading about this, liking it. Okay. So I generally had a feeling of a positive feeling about what's happening here. But I did have a couple of concerns. One was that their major sponsor is the Templeton Foundation, which is a religious organization that often sponsors research. I don't know if this is a stated goal of theirs, but I think it's based off of the type of research that they've supported in the past. I think we can conclude that at least one of their unspoken goals is to try to justify a God belief and to promote religion and you know, specifically for that. However, that in itself doesn't necessarily mean that this research is going to be skewed or misrepresented, but it's worth noting. The second thing that I was concerned about, and this was a little more subtle, and Neil, you kind of touched on this a little bit before, but they used phrases like explain why some people are atheists or what causes atheism. And this one specifically stood out at me. It said, what might reduce religious belief? And so it's like they were making the implication that the default level was to have a certain level of religious belief, and then what could cause these people to lose this valuable thing that we all have? And so they're presenting atheism. Maybe it was intentional. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was just me misinterpreting the research here. Researchers, you know, although their English was fine. There are different nuances from people from different areas of the world. And so maybe I was just misunderstanding it. But the way they talk about atheism, it's kind of like somebody performing a study looking at what's stopping all of these baseballs in the closet from not flying around like the ones out in the field are flying around. What's causing them to stop? And so it's
physics.
It's frustrating to see that kind of thing. And we're not born with God belief. It's something that we have to learn and something that's added to us after the fact. And so this might just be my, I clearly obviously have a biased interpretation here, as all human beings do. And so, so that might've been it. Kelly, what do you got? You got something coming up here, Kelly?
You guys picked up on a few things there I didn't hear. I was being really excited about this, and I was hoping that these guys would do a study that didn't treat atheism with stereotypes. And yeah, I guess I didn't pick up on some of those subtle things there, and it's I'm kind of sorry I didn't, and I kind of feel like an idiot for not doing it. But I was really hoping that these guys would
It's a team effort.
There you go. See, and I was hoping that these guys wouldn't fall into those stereotypes and prejudices against the atheists. And now I'm not so sure that they're not going to. And I could see why they were doing this study for the same reasons, or actually the opposite reasons that I was just mentioning before. You know, I would like to see the study done so we can find out where we need to concentrate to make more people deconstruct. And yet these people want to do it for just the opposite reason, to find out ways they can keep people from turning away from religion. Right. And I think that's probably the motive of this study, but that doesn't mean we can't use it for our side as well. So, I mean, it's something I still definitely want to keep an eye on and see the results of.
Sure. Neil, any other thoughts? That's about it. Concerns?
One of the doctors mentioned that they're kind of excited to launch the Explaining Atheism website because they want to get, I guess, to it's going to have stuff like short films and whatnot in it. And they're excited because they want to sort of have people find a way to get help with these, because they're difficult and, in their words, contentious question, right? So, which means, these are difficult things to talk about, as we all know, right? You never talk about religion or politics at the dinner table. I was always told I do anyways. but exploring
you're the wrong place for that, I think.
Exploring these questions is important because people need to hear these things that are causing people to lose their belief. A lot of folks out there are afraid to admit that they are. And I think hearing from other people how it's done or what caused them to stop, they might go, oh, shit, I see a connection there. So it's okay. I'm not like a bad person because I'm losing my belief. Because let's face it, guys, we get painted with that brush. You have no morals. Yeah, screw you, buddy. But anyway.
Yeah. And I think all of those points are exactly why I was so excited about this. I mean, anytime I see, a multinational, interdisciplinary, multi-million-dollar study, there's always that kind of part of me that just kind of tenses up a little bit, because I know there's going to be something, even if it's just like a single bullet point, that some jackass is going to, pull out of context and just splash it on every social media. And there's always something like that in studies this big and broad. But I think one thing that, and I know we've all touched on it, and I just think it's a really valuable message, is making sure that more and more people know simply being non-religious does not make you a bad person. It doesn't make you some pariah or all these horrible things that we've heard. Some of us do have horns, but that's actually like a medical thing. And anyway, the point is, I think there is
guys coming
so
to my baby queue next weekend.
yeah. We'll be there. But I think there's so much value in continuing to remind people that atheists are normal, that just because you're not part of an organized religion, just because you don't have a belief in a deity or supernatural, that's really all that says about you. Everything else is still kind of just the same as everybody else, and I think that's a really, really valuable message. So I was happy about that.
And it looks like they're really hitting a lot of countries. I mean, they're even going to be in Saudi Arabia and Lebanon, New Zealand, Republic of Ireland. I mean, they are going across the board. And I think this is going to provide us with some really, really good data. Kelly, I really liked your thought about, you know, which sections do we need to focus more on? Because maybe we're not doing so well, or heck, maybe we're doing a really good job and just keep pushing those. But Scott, I know there was some other things that you liked about this. What was that?
Like I said, as soon as I saw this, I dove right in. I went to the website, the Understanding or the Explaining Atheism, and I even went to the website for their previous study called Understanding Unbelief. There were some positive things here. Like I said, I came out of this reading, out of this experience, having a positive feeling. So hopefully I can give a couple of reasons to swing Kelly back to the optimistic side, pull him off from the dark side, and maybe give him some reason to look forward to this. The first thing that I liked about it was the way that they used the term atheist. If you look at some of the preliminary materials that they're putting out, they talk about atheists and agnostics. They talk about unbelief or not belief, that kind of thing. And so it wasn't really clear what they meant by the word atheist. And as we know, that can be kind of a stickler point. But I was able to find something on their previous study, and it was largely the same research group, the same group of researchers did this previous study called Understanding Unbelief. And the goal to that one was to get a good broad view of what's out there, of what kind of people are non-believers and so on. And in there, they had a document that defined their usage of the word atheism as, quote, the state of lacking faith or belief, especially religious faith or belief. And so what that tells me is that they're listening. Okay, so they're listening to us. Very often we'll see, this is what an atheist is. And if you say you're an atheist, this is what you are. And we're like, just listen to me. Okay. Just let me say what I feel. Let me say what I think. Let me say what I believe. And so I'm glad. So it appears that their goal is to actually learn. And so not necessarily just set up some arguments or how are we going to knock these heathens down and stuff like that. So that was the first thing that I liked. The second thing was, after looking over the little information they had on their methodology, I really got the impression that they were putting effort into being very conscientious and open-minded. Those are a couple of things that I really like to stress in my statistics classes. I like to say, we're going to be learning how to be conscientious statisticians. And so, as mentioned above, they also have an interdisciplinary team. And so they have people from a variety of different areas. And so what that tells me is that they're going to have a variety of priorities. And so when they go to gather that data, it's very easy to skew the results based on how you answer the questions, how you choose your people and so on. And so with a variety of people kind of trying to elbow their particular desires in, since they're coming at it from different disciplines, they're going to have different priorities. And so the balancing of those priorities kind of necessitates an even-handed approach. That, and while the primary researcher was religious, they're basing their inferential analysis on the work of a computer scientist by the name of Judea Pearl, who calls himself a, quote, practicing disbeliever. So it's not just a bunch of religious people trying to find out about atheists. To me, at least this is the impression that I got. I'm assuming that once they get their research peer reviewed and get it released, and so there'll be a little bit more details. But it looks like they're looking at, like I said before, they're interested in understanding and interested in learning and taking a collaborative approach. And so, yes, there are some warning signs here, some red flags, but I'm rooting for them. I'm cautiously optimistic, and I'm looking forward to seeing the results that come out of their study.
Yeah, same here. For sure. Same here. Kelly, you had.
And I like the fact that they're using interfaith people. Sorry.
Yes. No. That was a really good point. I completely agree. I think having that broad range of people behind it is going to be very valuable. Kelly, you had some final thoughts on this before we wrap up the show.
Oh, sure. And it's not really to do with the story, but it's to do with what you just mentioned, secularity, about going out there and showing people that we're good people too, mm-hmm. that we're just like you are. And Justin Looney, who is one of the wonderful volunteers that helps the ACA keep rolling, he helps with the emails. He was once on my show and he had one of the best ideas I think I've ever heard that nobody has done yet. And that's setting up an organization of atheist ambassadors, people to go out and give talks to the community, to answer questions and to show that we are good people, that we are good, normal people. And I think that's an idea that's really come of age, and it's something that we really should make happen.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree.
Definitely. Yeah.
That's it. That's all I wanted to say. It's fun to share a really good idea that somebody shared with me.
I volunteer.
Yeah. We'll start laminating cards here before long, you guys.
But yeah, I think that is a fantastic high note for us to end on, because again, I think all of us here, you know, we feel pretty good about this, and we're hoping for some good results from it. And at the very least, I'm just going to speak for the three of you when I say this, but this was a really good time. I always have fun being on the show. So before we go, folks, I got to let you know a couple of great things. One, we have fan-run social media outlets, and you need to join them. You need to be there because you can find most of the nonprofit hosts on the Atheist Community of Discord. All you got to do is go to tiny.cc/ACD Discord, and you can find us on Facebook at tiny.cc/FBNP. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron at tiny.cc/PatreonNP. And if you find yourself already shopping at Amazon, well, you can support the Atheist Community of Austin by just shopping at smile.amazon.com and selecting the Atheist Community of Austin as the beneficiary. So be sure to use that link to help us out here at the ACA. Every single penny really, really adds up, and it means a whole lot to us, you guys. So thank you so much for everybody out there who does support us. And again, you can always just like and subscribe and comment, guys. It takes absolutely no money whatsoever, and it is incredibly helpful for just getting these messages out there. So, and of course, we want to know what you think. We do value that feedback from you. So tell us what you like, what you didn't. You've got the comments below. Just shout at us down there if you want, or you can email us at nonprofits@atheist-community.org. And make sure to go visit the Atheist Community of Austin's official website at atheist-community.org so that you can always stay up to date on what's been happening, all the information and new cool things that we're doing at the Free Thought Library. And always feel free to contact the ACA at tv@atheist-community.org. So as always, you know, we love to have just a little wrap, and we'll just run down the line. We'll start with you, Scott. Just 30 seconds to a minute, man. Wrap us up. What are your final thoughts?
For my final thought, I would like to present something from another author who is frequently banned, Shel Silverstein. And this has to do with what we were talking about before, about how it's easy for atheists to feel alone and to feel isolated. This is a Silverstein short poem called Masks. It says, "She had blue skin and so did he. He kept it hid and so did she. They searched for blue their whole life through, then passed right by and never knew." So get up there, take off your mask, find those other people and make connections.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah, man. Kelly, final thoughts?
I have a Mandalorian mask.
Final thoughts. Yeah. Remember these people that are trying to control our country and our lives. We really need to stand up to them, go out there and stand up. Show people that we are humans just like they are. And that's about the best thing you can do. And it's not hard to do. It only takes a few minutes every week. So everybody spend that few minutes.
Definitely. Neil, it was great having you back on. We hope you come back and hang out with us again more frequently. And what are your final thoughts?
Oh, I'm sure I will. Kind of like herpes. I keep coming back. Well, first of all, America is not a Christian nation, neither is Canada. Don't ban books. Any of these books you want to ban, talk to people about these books. Tell them why you want to ban them, then go over the reasons of why we can't be that type today. Third of all, the red heifer shit is bullshit. Stop believing that nonsense. And fourth, what the hell were we just talking about? Something about don't do drugs before the show. Oh, no, that was before the show. Never mind. But yeah, be good to each other, folks.
Yeah, agree. And I think the three of y'all wrapped us up really well. And I'll just say, you know, remember everyone out there who's either, you know, watching this live with us when it premieres or checking back in as the week goes on the podcast or YouTube. We've always got really cool things going on here with the ACA. And there are a lot of really great places and you don't have to be alone. That was one of the biggest things I think that stuck out with me with this last article is that, you know, we are getting more and more information. Our communities are growing and we have ways to connect with each other. And so definitely rewind this if you need those places or just check the show notes because it is always a great time hanging out with these silly blasphemers and heathens and whatnot. And I know everybody else will have fun too. So thank you all so much for watching and listening and we'll see you next time.
Watch Talk Heathen live Sundays at 1 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/ytth and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callth.